The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Dynatrace. Explore career opportunities at Dynatrace, a leading software observability and security company where your passion thrives, innovation leads, and well-being matters. Visit careers.dynatrace.com. LinkedIn presents.
Welcome to Brown Table Talk. I am DC Marshall, founder and CEO of Diverse and Engage, Wall Street alum, top WBE CEO, LinkedIn top voice, and I'm here with my co-host Mita. Hey there, Mita.
Hey there, Dee. I'm Mita Malik, a business leader, a DE&I champion, and most importantly, a mother. My superpower is storytelling.
And Mita and I, we started Brown Table Talk as a place to spill the tea on the hard truths women of color face in the workplace. So from my perspective as a Black woman, and for Mita, her view as a South Asian woman, at our table, we unpack it all. We don't leave any juicy details out. And then we provide you with tips you need on not how do you survive, but how do you thrive in organizations wherever you are. So Mita, what are we talking about today?
Today, friend, I wanted to talk about what is on top of mind for so many of us with all of these waves of layoffs that are hitting the marketplace and our social media feeds. What do you do after you have survived a layoff? What do you do after you survived a layoff? And that's a bit of a different twist. But, oh, Dee, this one's sitting heavy with me. It is a tough time right now in the marketplace.
Yeah. You know, it is tough, but I'm always so optimistic. I'm so hopeful. And you know, in fact, I have to manage it sometimes because, you know, I think people don't know how to take it. But I know that it's tough. But immediately when folks are laid off, I just, you know, I say, congratulations, you got a promotion.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if you have your next opportunity lined up. I'm just always in a positive space around it, that you are complete.
I mean, yes.
Your assignment there mm-hmm. was done. It's not personal. And you just got a promotion, because whatever the next opportunity is, it's going to be a promotion. So
awesome.
Yeah, let's talk about it. But I do know a lot is happening. I just try to stay in that space. But what are you seeing, hearing, and what's going on?
So to our listeners, thank you for joining us today. If you go back to some of our previous episodes, we talk about what to do when you've been laid off and give tips and support and advice and guidance. But Dee, for me, this is about when you are in the organization where a lot of layoffs happened and you have watched everyone else move on, but you're still there, right?
Yeah.
So this idea of how do you survive a layoff? Because what mm-hmm. I'm seeing right now, and listen, I've been laid off twice in my career. Doesn't matter how successful I am, what my title yeah. is, how many publications yep. I write for, who I know, that fear never leaves you. That fear mm-hmm. never leaves you, especially during an economic downturn. And what I'm concerned about and what I'm seeing is loss of productivity.
Mm-hmm.
People feeling anxious and overwhelmed because mm-hmm. wasn't this round that hit them, but what if there's another round? Oh, mm-hmm. I'm hearing whispers that there might be layoffs in the back half.
Which there typically
is. Oh, my friends got laid off from here and there, right? And so it's like, how? Mm-hmm. What do we do, Dee? This is the conversation I want to have, is like, how do we actually, as I say, focus on controlling what you can control? I can't control whether or not my company is going to let me go in a few months,
mm-hmm.
but what can
mm-hmm.
I do here and now? And so that's what I'm actually really concerned and thinking about, is the anxiety that it's creating also for those who have been not affected, but are still expected to work and deliver.
Yeah. They call it survivor's remorse.
Yes.
Survivor's remorse
yes.
in the workplace of when you, you know, you become friends with your colleagues and your coworkers. If you've, whether you've been there a year or 5 years, you know their kids, you know their mom, you know, and then all of a sudden there's this awkward sort of distance and mm-hmm. if you're left on the inside. So if you didn't lose your job, it's even this awkwardness of whether or not do you reach out and such. So I do know that there, it is an awkward situation called, and it's called survivor's remorse. And it comes from, you know, you're there, you didn't lose your job, and then you're heavy because other people lost their job, and oh, they needed their job, or whatever the narrative is that we tell ourselves. Right. And then
yes.
there's survivor's remorse, you're there, the overwhelm, the anxiety, having to then pick up the pieces and move on, and then having to do double work. Yes. and all of that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a serious thing.
One of the things I want to offer our listeners and chat with you about, Dee, is what to do after you have survived the layoff, you are still at your company. And I wish I could go back and tell my younger self this. Go back and look at your roles, your role, your responsibilities, your project list. When I was younger, I was much more set in my ways. And I would say, oh, but this project is amazing. I have to continue on with this initiative. I have to see it to the end because guess what? I was taught not to quit. You don't quit. You don't not finish something you started. And what I want everyone to think about is that priorities are shifting for companies. Something that you thought was such an important project, you might have to let go. You might have to actually volunteer. And I might go to my boss, Dee, and say, hey, Dee, you know what? I was working on A, but I was at the town hall. I heard the CEO talk about the new priorities. I'm actually going to say we should stop A, but guess what? Yep. I know you need help on B and C. Hand up. Put me in coach. Put me on those two. And don't be so married and tied to these things that are so precious that you're like, but this was my idea and I want to see it through.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I would agree. The first things to do is, I think the formal and informal research and reprioritizing and proper repositioning. So what I mean by the, I think the, and it's probably the priorities first, like, right. It's having the conversations immediately after, to talk about, okay, so here's where we are. You know, I know things are changing. So what are our new priorities so that we can align? So to your point, it's not being married to what you were doing, but what are the needs right now? And how are you going to be evaluated? So definitely the priorities. But I'd also say, I think it's important to do our own research, like personal research in terms of what things are happening in industry, marketplace, 30,000. I always like to look at it, 30,000 feet, 10,000 feet, and then ground. So look at industry is important. Looking at the company is important. And then looking at, some of the key roles and people who are already, or still left in place. I'd say that. And then the third thought that I always have is proper repositioning. So for whatever you haven't been able to complete the story, sure. meaning a chapter is ending, and completing the story is just downloading everything that has happened in the previous season. Everything that happened in the previous season, what were some of the wins? What were some of the, you know, the challenges? So it's appropriate to do that. In fact, there's a lesson, it's called the law of reflection. And the law of reflection says that you pause long enough for learning to catch up. And so it is appropriate if you still have your job, let's just, let's deal with right now and everything up until this point. So we can then button that up, put a bow on it, complete it, close it out and put it in a bucket over there. And by closing it out, again, it's the lessons, it's the insight, it's the, you know, the wins. Cause you want to be able to tell your story when you're going for the next job. And then also there's a big opportunity for promotion right now. There's a big opportunity for promotion if you're still on the inside. And that's why you do the priorities, right? Looking at the priorities, you're researching, and then you're doing the proper repositioning so that you can then tell the story and raise your hand. Yeah. You know,
I love all of that.
I'd be happy to take that on. I'd be happy to take on an interim. Ooh. This might be the one instance where we might allow free. We're going to allow free. We get to pass. Let's just say free is on a pass. And so this is a strategic play of interim roles are appropriate. They're not necessarily appropriate, but they are reasonable, but only if it is consistent with all of the others, if that makes sense.
Listen, I didn't think I'd hear you say that, but okay, here we go. Free in the interim, reasonable, but with an expiration date. With an expiration date. It's not going to go on and on that I'm going to be the number two for 2 years. Waiting in the wings, you're promising me the role, it's not happening. So the expiration date, listen, for all of you listening, lean in, highlight it. Law of reflection, as Dee said, and then the promotion opportunity, which is key. But Dee, I want to ask you this, because what you said to me, what you just said to all of us really resonated with me. Because if you all have listened to this podcast, and thank you for being here, you know I've had some really great bosses. And I've had some not so great bosses. And I've had bosses who didn't look out for me. And when I started in corporate America, I tied my fortunes to the boss. And I thought it was the boss's job to look out for me. That is actually the job, right? When you're a leader, I'm a servant leader. My team, I work for my team. They don't work for me. I work for them. And it is my job to coach them and guide them and to help them become leaders, but not everyone thinks that way. And so what you said was really powerful, because if you're sitting here and you've survived the layoff and you're waiting for your boss to come tell you what to do, that might not happen. Everything that Dee just outlined, you've got to do for yourself. Because guess what? If you haven't done that and you're waiting for, like in my case, I was waiting for my boss to come and say these things to me.
Yeah,
and they never did. And then I was actually a part of another round of layoffs and I'm not going to say that I wouldn't have been a part of that layoff, but if I had pivoted, like you just advised us to, the outcome might've been different. And I might've been better positioned for my next chapter, right? Yeah. My next opportunity.
Yeah. And you know what? Here's another great window of opportunity for everyone who is inside the organization right now. You survived. This is a great opportunity to double down on building social capital, meaning reaching out to folks in this time in a genuine, authentic way. Hey, know we're all in this together. We're going through transition, within the company. Just wanted to connect or say hello. Hope all is well. Would be open to connecting coffee, or if there's exploring where there might be synergies or whatever. Like, this is a window of opportunity to reach out. It is, in a genuine, authentic way. So like, Mita, if you and I are at the same company, I'm sending, you might get an email and, hey, Mita, just checking in. Know it's a tough moment and, you know, let's get together. Would love to, you know, next week or so, a couple weeks, right? Because you're still here. Just checking in. How are things over there?
Awesome.
Let's connect and see how we recalibrate and allow for the conversation to be one of collaborative recalibrating of sorts, right? It's we're recalibrating and we're part of the team that is going to go to the next level, or part of the team that is going to get through this, right? It's you unify around being on the inside. And it's not like, because I'm sure somebody's thinking, well, it sounds like you're celebrating, oh, you've got a job and there's other people who don't. No, it's just really about being realistic and honest about work and business. And these things are not personal. And We're gonna move on, right? After today, or after, you know, I think you give yourself a 72-hour grace or a 1 week grace. And by the way, go see a therapist, download, and you know, and then you keep it moving.
Yeah. One of the things that you just said that sparked for me is that when layoffs happen, especially in this marketplace where there's pretty significant waves happening, if you are still at the company, many of your champions, your sponsors, go and listen to that episode where we talk about career sponsors, they may have moved on. And so this is an opportunity to rebuild bridges internally. And we should be constantly doing that. But what a really important moment to then reassess your network internally, who is still here, and who can you be working with? And actually on some pretty big initiatives. You know, one thing I did want to mention is venting is important. Dee, you know, we send each other audio messages all the time. Now we just do it on the podcast, but Venting is important. Yep. Save it all. And you have to be careful when the venting goes into the black hole, the downward spiral, right? Because venting's important. It's whether for me, it's like my writing, journaling, therapy, all of those things. But you can do that with coworkers to a certain extent. And then you've got to move to the productive. Like you're saying, hey, we're all here now. Let's go tackle this project. Let's like get through it. But this is what also I'm watching is we've got to be careful about the venting that doesn't end and the anxiety it creates. Did you hear? There's another layoff coming, D. Did you hear? They're going to announce it next Tuesday. And then Tuesday, oh, no, it's going to be in 3 weeks. You're like, no, this is not helpful. Focus.
Yeah. It's
not. Stay positive and focused, right? Because it's creating more anxiety and you're not going to do your day job. Like, how is it possible if you're constantly like thinking about this could happen, that could happen, if this person leaves and then I get moved there and then right?
Yeah. I had a boss once and I want to call her name only because it was really positive, but she said a call. This was Wall Street. This was One New York Plaza in the thick of things, okay? Ooh. Right down the street from the stock exchange. And I want to call her name because it was so, she was so super bad, good meaning good. She set a culture of no gossip and no negative, and people did not. And I think the way she set it up was the first person, or if there's somebody who comes to you and they have, if they're gossipy or they have something negative to say, you know, they are the problem. And so I think there was a bit of a standard that was set, or maybe even fear that I will be judged and I'll be an outsider if I come with the negative and the gossipy about the this, that, and the other. And so to your point about you can only vent, you know, I only allow people to vent for a minute. Hashtag venting has expiration date. Listen, we're going to talk about venting it's expired. Yes. Expired. And so everybody, when you get it, you should hold up the sign on the Zoom, expire, venting, expire, expiration, the venting or the complaining or the downloading. Let's just say the downloading and the
downloading. I love that.
It has an expiration date. I will say this, the reason we don't want to hold on to the venting and the anxiety of, is there something else coming? Or, I heard so-and-so say this, or did you hear that so-and-so is losing her job or being reshuffled? The reason why you want to let that go is because energetically you are sabotaging your own opportunity for the next level. I'm going to say that one more time to your point, Mita, about you can
underline.
Make sure that if you still have your job, because that's what we're talking about on this show. We're talking about survivor's remorse and what to do. How do you move on? How not to move on is
how not to move on.
Crack. Do not.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise. A promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. A promise that pays off. Learn more at TIAA.org/promises pay off.
From LinkedIn News, I'm Leah Smart, host of Everyday Better, an award-winning weekly podcast dedicated to personal development. Whether you're looking for ways to shift your mindset or seeking more fulfillment in your life, we've got you covered.
You can build internal resources. That's what the study of psychology is about, building internal resources.
Turning towards is one of the most important elements of successful relationships, no matter what kind of relationship it is.
The thing that underpins all of this productivity stuff is finding a way to make the journey itself enjoyable. The journey is the destination.
The beauty of uncertainty is infinite possibility. When you don't know what's next, you don't know what's next. And thus, anything can be next.
Join me as we dive into captivating stories and research-backed ideas that have empowered me and others to lead lives with more clarity and intention. Everyday Better, making growth an everyday practice. Listen to Everyday Better on the LinkedIn Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
be the keeper. Do not track this P&L with every issue and everything, all of the movements within the company that have nothing to do with you, because energetically, it's going to work against you in terms of your opportunity. It's also energetically going to work against you because that's not the sign of a leader. And remember, for women and women of color, we are always having to show up, you know, postured in such a way. And so the way you show up as a solid, strong, powerful, that sounds really masculine energy, but you know what I mean? A strong leader is to make sure you are managing. That's EQ. That's emotional intelligence. It's how you manage yourself and how you connect with other people. I don't want to dump on Mita. Mita, you should allow me first, second time I get to come over to your office and talk about this.
Yeah.
Or I get to ask you to come with me to get coffee and we're talking about this. By day three, you should cut me off or it's your fault. Hashtag it's your fault. You're guilty if you let me, if you allow, right? Because you should say, you should call flag. Need to handle me, D.
Yes.
Flag on the field, D, this is day three. Are we going? Because I'm here for the advancing team. I want to be on the A team. I want to be on the advancing team, not the batching team. You're on the A team or the B team? A team, B team, advancing team or batch?
That's a nice story, and I'm never cutting off DC Marshall, so that's fine.
Do not let me complain. I'm telling you, I have a low tower now. I had somebody complaining about a restructuring within the last 30 days, and she really wanted to go, and the company is bad, the restructure. I said, no.
Yeah.
No. You're complete here.
You know what? It's business. You want to take that energy and you want to move forward. You want to either invest it in your career at the company, or you're going to say, I'm out, right? Because of what's happening and the restructuring. Then you use that energy. Don't hold on to it. Use it to actually network. Then get your resume together. Get your LinkedIn profile. Please go listen to that episode where we talk about the importance of being on LinkedIn. But Dee, something you said totally sparked for me. Because I actually posted about this recently on LinkedIn. Like, this is not the opportunity. Do not become the helicopter boss or the helicopter colleague because you are now in a panic over layoffs and you're still here. And so the helicopter colleague, there's the helicopter boss, but the helicopter colleague, where people are doing checklists and spreadsheets and creating more work and nonsense. And you're like, this doesn't even make sense. Why are we doing any of this? Because people are all in a frenzy and they're like, I gotta hold on to my job. So I'm creating more work. And then I'm creating more work for my team and for the other people. And you're like, no, pause. So that's why what Dee is saying is so important. You've got to process the emotions and how you're feeling, because if you don't and you hold on to that, you're actually going to start creating a toxic environment for your team that's left. Ooh, yeah. Dee.
You're right. This is good. Whew. Okay.
The last thing I want to say before tips is, and you mentioned this before, so as somebody who has been let go in her career, what I always found really interesting is the colleagues who had stayed on at the company, the survivor's guilt, they didn't want to talk to me anymore. And it was like this weird, like, oh, I'm contagious or something, or it was awkward and uncomfortable. And my advice is to anyone who is at the company after layoffs have happened, as Dee said, you've also been through grief and pain. You're losing your team, you're losing people, but you're still there. Take the time and then reach back out to people, right? Yeah. Some of those relationships are important. And you know what? Mita could be a big player somewhere, and then she could hire you if you had kept in touch and hadn't ghosted her.
That's it. That's it, friend.
And pretended she didn't exist. And oh God, she was let go. Did you hear? And then you see on LinkedIn, I landed somewhere pretty great. Uh-oh.
Yep.
Missed opportunity.
Yep. Missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity. All right. Okay. We should pause. We should go to tips. Okay, Dee, this always happens. I can't believe we're close to the end of this amazing conversation. So today, thank you all for joining us. We were talking about what to do after you've survived a layoff. And so I'm going to turn it over to Dee as we leave you with tips for one and two.
All right. And I'm going to share the tips, and I'm also going to share it on browntabletalkpodcast.com. Tip number one, increase your social capital. Now is the time. inside the organization to reach out, revisit. You have a reason to check in an authentic, organic way. So that's tip number one. Tip number two is what not to do. No venting. Or if you have to vent, vent with the expiration. You've got two strikes, the third time, you're out, no more venting. If you need to vent or download or process beyond that, seek therapy. And Mita, over to you for number three.
Listen, Dee, I'm gonna have an expiration date on my audio messages to you. I got that. Venting expiration date. All right. Number three, don't disregard your colleagues who have moved on, who were let go. Don't disregard them. There's survivor's guilt, as Dee talked about. Take the time to process on your own if you're still with the company and reach out and reconnect with the colleagues who were important to you and see how you can help each other. Dee, I'm so grateful for you, our friendship, for the School of DC Marshall, for the LinkedIn Podcast Network, for all of you listening. Thank you so much. That was today's episode. If you loved what we had to say, please share it with someone who needs to hear this conversation. And please leave us a review as well. You can find us on Apple and Spotify, and we will see you next time.
Side effects of listening to Brown Table Talk may include allies unleashed, getting paid more, and a dose of badassery all the way around. More at www.browntabletalkpodcast.com.